Thanks, everyone, for joining us. This is Joe Dagher, the host of the Business 901 podcast. Participating in the program today is Karen Martin. Karen is a seasoned, highly rated lean practitioner and educator who specializes in applying lean and developing continuous improvement cultures in service, government, and office settings. She was one of the first operations design experts to focus 100% on applying lean principles and tools in non-manufacturing environments. In fact, she is the author of the Kaizen Event Planner, Making Rapid Improvement in Office, Service, and Technical Environments. Karen, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us. And let's start out with just discussing why you wrote the Kaizen Event Planner.
Well, thank you, Joe, very much for having me. The Kaizen Event Planner was actually born first at a client location where we were running Kaizen events. It was a healthcare organization. And because of the highly cross-functional nature of most non-manufacturing processes and the difficulty in getting all of those functions familiar with and comfortable with working together, the client had suggested a need for a standardized approach to Kaizen events, including the very extensive planning process that's involved. So it really was born out of a client need, and at that point, the only Kaizen event books out there focused on manufacturing, and so I thought it was a good idea. And then I partnered with Mike Osterling, who also has extensive experience in the office side, but primarily in manufacturing, and so he knew the manufacturing world much better than I did. I knew more of the non-manufacturing world, healthcare, financial services, distribution, government, military, etc.
Why would you use a Kaizen event to accomplish something, and what's the main purpose of it?
You know, in the non-manufacturing environment especially, folks aren't generally very used to measuring processes. They aren't necessarily well-skilled in root cause analysis and even working together in a cross-functional manner to solve process problems. So Kaizen events offer a sequestered, formalized approach to putting all those folks together so that they can get the proper venue and the proper structure for making improvement. And it just so happens that improvement is also made very quickly, typically, in a Kaizen event. One of the things that we see that Kaizen events are somewhat misnamed out there is that a lot of organizations will say that they run Kaizen events, but when you probe as to what their output is, it's really a plan for improvement. They haven't actually implemented an improvement during the event. So for an organization that isn't familiar with making rapid change and they don't necessarily even have the skill set for making rapid improvement, Kaizen events offer a great structure for that.
So when you say that they run numerous Kaizen events I noticed one thing on your website where you said a typical organization of, let's say, per 100 people only have 4 Kaizen events a year. So a Kaizen event is different than a continuous improvement process or your weekly meeting for a continuous improvement process. What is the difference there?
Yes, good question. So Kaizen events are this formalized, structured approach to making rapid improvement, whereas really what the goal is of any organization is to develop a Kaizen culture. And in a Kaizen culture, improvement happens continuously. It happens without the need for this formalized process that involves a tremendous amount of planning and really quite a bit of effort. In fact, Kaizen events can be quite painful for an organization because of the number of people they have to pull off their regular jobs and sequester them for 2 to 5 days. They're really only reserved for the most intense types of improvements that need to be made. What some organizations do, and one of the criticisms of Kaizen events, is that they'll get hooked on Kaizen events and only make improvement during a formal event. And that's not at all the intention of a Kaizen event. So I view them as a good way to indoctrinate an organization into the improvement process and teach the skills. In fact, you'll hear Kaizen events referred to as Kaizen workshops and Kaizen blitz. And the workshop term reflects the deep learning that occurs in a Kaizen event if it's well facilitated. So it is true that there's a risk that organizations can become dependent on Kaizen events and use them for all improvement and never really evolve into that Kaizen culture. But I do believe that it's a very good first step and often for many, many years, I think non-manufacturing organizations in particular can benefit from Kaizen events in order to get the culture developed and get embedded into the DNA of the organization, this whole concept of continuous improvement.
So you're saying a Kaizen event is not the only time used, of course, but is used very well to move someone to that continuous improvement culture.
Exactly. I don't know many organizations, in fact, even in manufacturing, I don't know many organizations that grasp what continuous improvement really is unless they're well along the journey. For a beginning organization, I just don't think they have a really clear concept of what it takes to truly authorize the frontline workers to make change, to truly have leadership allow the improvement suggestions to come into place, and also to allow the workforce to make those tactical improvements. And frankly, there are very few organizations that even have a good improvement strategy in place, you know, from which you could even have that kind of frontline worker authorization and execution of improvements. So I think, you know, again, Kaizen events are often criticized by folks that are true blue to Toyota Production System, TPS, and I understand why, but I do think in the non-manufacturing environment, it's a necessary step to help an organization evolve into a Toyota-like operation.
So if I'm trying to implement lean or a continuous improvement culture, whether you call it lean or something else, I would basically look at maybe taking a project on and, let's say, taking this project and developing a system around it and holding a Kaizen event to do that?
Yes, typically, if it's a lean organization or organization attempting the lean journey, typically the strategy comes about through value stream mapping. So either the organization would have done the first step of the lean journey as depicted in Womack's lean thinking is to first define your product families. And so once the product families are known, then you can pick one product family that needs improvement for whatever reason. And it could be quality, cost, delivery, safety, or morale issues, or a combination thereof. And then a value stream map is created. Typically, the team for value stream mapping is heavily leadership-based because you want folks on that team that are authorized to approve a future state, and the future states are typically pretty dramatic. And then the follow-on implementation of that future state could have any number of tactical implementation strategies, the Kaizen event being only one of several. There may also be a need for some longer-term projects that may take weeks or months to implement, and there might even be some very quick, what we call just do-its or JDIs that can be done without the complexity of a project or the intensity of a Kaizen event. But that value stream map is really critical to avoid what we sometimes hear called drive-by Kaizens or kamikaze Kaizens, or one of our colleagues, Jane Marshall, has a great phrase, random acts of Kaizen. That value stream map keeps the Kaizens being tightly tied to strategy instead of, you know, just teams going out and doing things that may be good improvements, but it may suboptimize or just not really affect the total output of that process if improvements done in a little pocket, not tied to strategy.
So to start out with, to get to a Kaizen event, we're really sitting there talking about, okay, here we go. We're on the way to culture. We build a value stream map. We go through the process here and the just do it ones, the obvious ones we just hack off. And then for the more important ones and more serious ones, then we structure to have a Kaizen event around that.
Exactly. One value stream map could spawn the need for one Kaizen event, or it could be 10 Kaizen events, depending on how long-term the future state is, how far out it is, and also the nature of the improvements that need to be made in order to realize that future state.
Now, can I go ahead and hold a Kaizen event by myself, or is it much better to have a facilitator? I mean, can I read your book and hold a Kaizen event?
Well, hopefully we've done our job in sharing all of our tricks of the trade, and you can do it. But, you know, I do think that beginning organizations benefit tremendously from having a very seasoned facilitator involved in several. I often will work with clients to train their internal staff to become facilitators, which doesn't happen in just one Kaizen event. It takes many as well as some classroom training so that they're not only confident in facilitating a rapid improvement event, because they're not easy, but they're also competent in facilitating those events. So I do think, and some of the industrial engineers that have been through a lot of lean training that I know have bought the book and have been quite successful in running a Kaizen event on their own because they're already seasoned improvement specialists and they already have some of the foundations in place. Others, I think, could use elements of the Kaizen event planner to even run meetings. I mean, there are elements of the Kaizen event that are appropriate for everyday business decisions and meetings and teamwork, objective setting, et cetera. So it's not just for Kaizen events. But I do think even a seasoned organization, well, let me back up for a moment. Our goal is always to get the organization self-sustaining as quickly as possible. And that typically involves having full-time dedicated continuous improvement professionals internally. Most organizations are a bit reluctant to budget for those folks, but those that do get much faster and more aggressive improvement, and they move along the lean journey much more quickly. Even for those organizations that have internal facilitators, they will often run into what I call tricky improvement or politically sensitive improvement, where an internal facilitator, no matter how well-skilled they are, may not have either the skills or even the ability politically to push the envelope on the future state and push for more innovation in a way that an outsider can get away with. So, and then also bandwidth becomes an issue in organizations that are doing a lot of Kaizen events in the early stages. They sometimes don't have enough facilitators internally to handle the amount of improvement they want to execute. So in that case, they can bring in an outsider. But we really do like to teach people to fish and get them self-sustaining as quickly as possible.
Well, you mentioned about that. I always remember this old saying when you're talking about resistance to change and things like that. And if someone doesn't get upset, we're really not trying to change anything. Okay.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting because as time has gone on, and of course I get better at this every day, even though I'm seasoned, there's just no end to the learning. And one of the things that I've noticed is that the more I push the envelope when there is no provocation going on, if the team isn't having some pretty healthy debate, and sometimes it inches into the heated debate category, then I will sometimes provoke the heat in order to get that, push them all the way as far as they can go on innovation so that they don't just play nice. A lot of organizations play nice, and there's a way to play nice and be highly professional and very kind and have respect for human beings and yet still also get aggressive innovation. There's a fine line there, but it's you're right on. It is important to allow that provocation and that debate to occur in order to get the best improvement.
Well, I think that, and I think an outsider sometimes can make it easier because do you try to kind of leave the rank and lead at the door? I mean, who's in charge and try to be all on equal footing when you're inside an event?
Absolutely. We have what we call Kaizen commandments, or some organizations call them rapid improvement events. And in that case, it's RIE rules. And one of the rules is rank has no privilege. And as a facilitator, if I think there might be an issue with that, and it can go both ways. It could be that we've got someone more senior on the team who has a very strong personality and might, by nature of that personality, shut down some of the more junior members, or it might be junior members that I want to coach into helping them realize that they were very carefully selected. And in a good team formation process, it's very strategic on who you put on that team. And so if you help them realize that they were handpicked to be on this team and they're not only authorized, they're also obligated to speak up and represent their peer group, et cetera. I sometimes will do some of that work up front to make sure that when we talk about the commandments or the rules on day one, that people truly understand what we mean by rank has no privilege.
I think it's interesting. You spend a lot of time in the book on planning the event and getting it ready. And one of the things, of course, is picking team members that you touched upon. But you just don't hold a Kai event, say we're holding a Kai event Friday, and you are going to be there, and we walk in on Friday?
No, for several reasons. So first of all, we recommend a 4 to 6 week planning cycle. So when you look back at the foundation of Lean, PDCA, Plan, Do, Check, Act, the P in PDCA is supposed to always be, or almost always be, at least 50%, if not 70 and 80% of the total time frame it takes to get through PDCA. That's what the beauty of PDCA is. And so the 4 to 6 week planning cycle becomes critical so that the team can hit the ground running on day one of that Kaizen event and have no obstacles to their success. So backing into what do you do in those 4 to 6 weeks, first of all, if you've got an organization where you're pulling people in from multiple sites, and in some cases possibly even flying people in from international sites, scheduling those folks becomes tricky. And so you have to plan it far in advance just to get the team to free their schedules up so that they can participate. And then even beyond that, there are logistics. Like many organizations have quite a difficult time getting a conference room for that many days where you're going to have a sequestered team. Not that they never leave the room, which we should probably talk about, but most of the work is done in some sort of a conference room setting. And if they don't have a dedicated space, which many organizations do not, then even just getting the conference room reserved can be a tricky proposition. And then there's everything from logistics of, you know, getting all of the data you need up front and getting, in the case of Kaizen events and non-manufacturing, you really almost always need to have computers in the room, printers in the room, screens so that you can project the applications the organization uses. And in some cases, we do what we call bringing Gemba to the room, where we'll go out, we'll go to the Gemba, we'll go where the work is being done and observe. But in some cases, we bring Gemba to the room by walking through, say, data entry or walking through the interface of a human being with their software applications. And all of that takes a lot of time to get, you know, IT on board and get the equipment available and figure out how to get access for all applications for all team members and all those types of things. And then there's the minor details of food. You have to have food. So you have to get all of those ducks in a row in order to have a good kickoff and a smooth start to the event.
Well, I feel like I'm in a courtroom and I'm jury duty here. Is that a similar feeling? Or
it is. And in fact, what's interesting is, you know, the first couple of Kaizen events in an organization, most of the direct supervisors of the folks that we want to have on a team will bristle a bit at the thought of having someone away for 2 to 5 days. And one of the first things I use to help them understand the importance of this is I'll say, for example, you know, do you pay for jury duty? And have you ever had an employee get selected on a murder trial? And if so, you know, how did you survive without them? And typically they'll say, well, you know, you just survive. And I say, yeah, exactly. You know, we have to put the same kind of emphasis and same kind of weight on making an improvement to the organization that we do on serving on a jury. And then the other thing I will help them realize, you know, I'll ask them a simple question of, you know, how long has this process problem been a problem? And usually it's months, if not years, sometimes decades. And then I say, if you don't get it wrapped in 5 days, how long will it likely continue to be a problem? And then they'll think about it. And then I'll say, okay, so while 5 days sounds incredibly painful, or 4 days, or 3 days, whatever the length of the Kaizen event is it really painful when you compare it to what you've been living and what you will likely continue to live? And that helps them. I mean, it's not easy. I'm not suggesting that it's easy to pull someone off their job and sequester them, but they are, in fact, like a sequestered jury. They do get to go home at night to their families, though.
How can someone get a hold of you?
I have a website, which is www.ksmartin.com. That's www.ksmartin.com. And I'm based in San Diego, California, and my phone number is 858-677-6799. And they can reach me any number of ways. Should I give email as well?
Okay. Well, they can get that off the website probably.
Yeah.
And I'll put a couple things on the writing that will have that. Now, you also have a webinar series that is going on?
Yes. I have in January, I'm having two webinars on January 20th and 21st. January 20th is Lean Psychology, Leveraging Human Nature to Maximize Results. And then the 21st is Putting That Lean Psychology into Action. And I actually don't have the rest of 2010 scheduled yet because I have done a survey on the topics that folks are most interested in. I'm still going through the survey results and scheduling the rest of the year.
I'd like to finish up by thanking you very much, Karen. It was a delightful conversation, and you will be able to listen to this podcast on my podcast site, the Business 901 podcast site, and also it'll be available in the iTunes store.
Joe, thank you very much for having me. It was really a nice conversation. I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.